chapter 11, very familiar. Very few times will we partake of the Lord's Supper that we don't turn to these scriptures. And we're going to think for a few moments before we receive the Lord's Supper. And why do we do it? We don't tack on the Lord's Supper. We set a whole service aside. Why? It's that important, okay? It's that important. God told us, Christ challenged us, do this in remembrance of me. And 1 Corinthians, actually, many theologians, and I'm in that camp, would say that 1 Corinthians was written before the Gospels were even written. And so if that's the truth, then this is our first account of how to do the Lord's Supper, how to conduct it properly. And so that's for us. It's a good thing for us to be reminded of. And we know that as we're going, we went through 1 Corinthians on Sunday evening, and we're going through 2 Corinthians in our Sunday school and now on Sunday evenings. And so it's an important book. And Paul, this church was what? It was troubled. It had its troubles, as all churches do. Why does church have troubles? It's full of people. It's full of people, right? You've heard me say this will never be a perfect church as long as I'm here, okay? Because none of us are perfect. None of us. And so we know that this church had great potential, had great gifts, and God could use, I mean, but they had factioned up, they had chose teams. You never choose teams in church. Can anybody say amen? We're all on the same team, all right? And so they had kind of, we're at Paul's group, we're at Peter's group, we're at Apollos' group, and so they had cliques, okay? It's still going, nothing new under the sun. If we're not careful, that'll happen in all our churches. Why? That's just how we are as humans, and we cannot be. We got to always be above that. Why? We are God's children. Ain't nobody better than anybody else. Ain't nobody. That's good old country preaching there, right? Isn't. Nobody isn't better than anybody else. How's that? Don't sound as good. Ain't nobody no better than anybody else. Okay? Seriously. And so this church, and he's trying to tell them they had taken the Lord's Supper and made it something that it wasn't supposed to be. And that's just how we'll do if we don't keep it in order, know what to do. It's never to be taken lightly. In fact, I want us to think about the conduct of the Lord's Supper. And we'll be looking to begin with, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians verses 17 through 22. And so let's read. I'm going to read Reverence God's Word and just read a couple verses this morning. So take your copy of God's Word, whether it's electronically or you have it in the written print. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. Take God's Word and stand to your feet. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 17 first to begin with. And let's look what it says. The Word of God says, "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you," this is Paul, "since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." He said, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that you have divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that you who are approved may be recognized among you." And we'll talk about that in a minute. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper?" Let's remember, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name you'll take these words, touch our hearts, show us how it is, and prepare our hearts to partake of this supper in remembrance of you. In Christ's name," and all God's people said, "you may be seated." So we see, and he begins off with, what shouldn't happen? So we need to learn the conduct. We'll make it as simple as we can. What should not happen at this supper? At the Lord's Supper, when we come to the Lord's table, communion, whatever way we want to call it, what shouldn't happen? When we see, he says, "For I received from the Lord that," he said, "now in these," slow down, Dave. I'm excited. Why? This is a great time to be together. Ain't that right, Bobby? It's exciting. It's exciting. Look, it says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you." He starts off pretty wrong. When you hear that, you know something's wrong. "I don't praise you. For since you come together for, not for better, but for the worse." It's all right when you say that in a wedding, but it ain't good when you're talking about the Lord, better or for worse. It's not, he said, it's not for the better, it's for the worse. The way you're doing it is wrong. Well, he said, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it." In other words, he said, "I've already heard the words got back. You're all fractioned up together." He said, "And I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, for that who are approved may be recognized among you." In other words, there's spiritual people that are saying, this ain't right. He realized they're letting him know that the church infractions. It should never be. This should be the most unified moment of all week. Can anybody say amen? That means laying aside our differences, our opinions, that which we like, our preferences, and come together with one focus and one reason, and that's to make much of Jesus. And that's what he's challenging them. He said they're not doing that. He said, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating each one takes his own supper ahead. He's giving us a picture of what's happening. For in eating, one takes his own supper ahead of the others, and one is hungry and another's drunk. What were they doing? Making a party out of it. That's what they were doing. What? Do you not have houses that eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who are having nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. What they had taken is the fellowship meal. We all know about fellowship meal. We Baptists are good at eating now, right? We like to eat. Nothing's wrong with it. And some people take these verses and say, well, we should never eat at the Lord's house. That's not what he's saying. But the way they were doing it, you shouldn't. You shouldn't come together. It wasn't about coming together in unity, and that's one thing that we do when we eat. I told somebody yesterday, we had Art's memorial service at Art Ness, and the ladies did a great job in cooking, and I said one thing about South Fork. I said, it don't matter where you're at in the line, you ain't got to worry about running out of food. Can anybody say amen? But in this church, it wasn't like that. What was happening is the groups would get together, they'd bring their own food. One over here would be eating steak, and the other one would be starving to death. Because you had the rich, the poor, and they weren't caring about one another. They were just making it something that it should never be. In God's church, in God's house, it should be all about taking care of one another. Can we say amen? And so they had made it in. And what they were doing at the end of this party, at the end of this gluttonous thing, at the end of not taking care of one another, then they take the Lord's Supper. And he said, man, you've got it all wrong. It doesn't work this way. In fact, disunity within our church, we should never take of the Lord's table if we have disunity with one another. You say, what are you saying, Pastor Dave? I'm saying if we have a heart of resentment to somebody in our own church, we need to deal with that. That's what, this is the whole reason he's laying this out to us. And it's easy for us to point at the Corinthians and say, wow, they weren't doing it right. But what about when the finger comes back to us and say, well, I need to think about this myself. Because we're going to see, he's showing us what should not happen. But I love he shows us what should happen. Look at verses 23 through 26. What should happen? And what does it say? Paul said, you're doing it this way. This is the way you do it. And Paul, he said, for I received from the Lord. Paul's letting them know this didn't come from me. This writing, and yes, Paul wrote it down, but the author is God. He said, this is not what I say the way to do it. He said, I received it from the Lord, Jesus Christ, which I also delivered to you. So he said, this is what I'm showing you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance, as often as you drink, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So we saw, this is, don't do it this way. How should we do it? Then first, let's think about the who that Paul. Who I want us to think of who. Well, in verse 23, Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And then he's saying, God, Christ was the instructor. Christ is giving these instructions on how to do this, how we are to partake of this blessed moment. The church understood, and they were supposed to be doing the Lord's Supper. They got that, and they knew that. They were just doing it wrong. They were doing it out of place. And they weren't doing it correctly. So communion is always being bombarded by the human experience. It's always been made, and it'll be made into some little bit of tradition if we're not careful. If we're not careful, and I'm not knocking anyway, we'll just tack it on at the end of the service as a feel-good thing, kind of like we say, amen, in Jesus' name. I mean, how many times we'll just tack it on, and it's not the gravitas, the weight of what it's supposed to be. It's missed in the way of our traditions because, you know what, that's just the way we do it. That's the way they were doing it. And so it should never be that way. And so he's telling them the who was that Jesus said, this is the rules, this is the way I wanted to observe. serve, and we are to be. We should have freedom to partake of it together as God's children. And that's what it's about. And so that's the who. When? When was it? He said, on the same night in which he was betrayed. Verse 23. What night was that? The night before his crucifixion. The Last Supper was when he instituted the Lord's Supper. That's when he changed the covenant. Remember, it was the Passover meal up to that time where it represented the blood that was placed over the doorpost when the death angel passed over Egypt and the children of Israel were led out of Egypt that night. And so that was a great time, the Passover meal. But Jesus said, we're instituting something new. And what's that new? It's going to be his blood. The blood of the covenant that he will shed before the next evening for everyone, that whenever the blood's applied to that doorpost, praise God, the death angel passes over. Has the blood been applied? That's what he's saying. He's changing it. The win is, on that night, it forever became a new institution. We don't have the Passover meal, do we? We have the Lord's Supper. Here we are, 2018, last day of April. It's forever. It's going to continue on until he comes back. Why? It was an ordinance from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reminder also. That night was when Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. The sadness of a man that walked with the Lord Jesus the same amount of time as those other disciples that was never, he was not of the Lord at all. He was playing a phony and he sold him and betrayed him. 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26:12 tells us that. The seeds of betrayal are in all everybody's hearts, by the way. When we come to worship and leave this place and we live contrary to that which we know is right, that's a betrayal of what we've learned and of our Lord. I want that to cut your heart today. It's easy for us to see those 30 pieces that old Judas to betray the Lord, but what about our own betrayals? When we step out these doors and we don't live what we say we come together to and unified on and based on God's Word, we're betraying Him ourselves. The how. I want you to look. When he had given thanks, please think about that moment. The Lord Jesus in human flesh giving thanks. There was a day coming, the next day, that he would hang upon a rugged cross. He'd be beaten, and he would die before the next day. And what if you knew that? See, the great thing about us is I know that the Lord holds it, but I don't know when that time is. Because, you know, if we did, all we knew when that time was coming, what we do? All we'd be doing is worried about. We couldn't live the moment, could we? We'd just be worried about that date that was coming. The Lord knew that before the sun went down the next day, he'd give his life for you and me. He knew that. But yet he steps and he gives thanks for this moment and what's coming. Why? He realized that it was for the greatest glory of all mankind for him to give his life for you. Why? Because only his life and his blood could bring us in right relationship with the Holy God. He gives thanks. He institutes with thankfulness. But what was getting ready to the sacrifice he's getting ready to make, he was thankful to do it. That's how much he loved you and me. What? What did it involve? Verses 23 and 24. He took the bread, he broke it, and what did he say? Take, eat. We'll do that in just a moment. The emblems of his sacrifice were bread and the cup. The bread betrayed his body. The emblem of the bread is his own, look, his own hands. In his own hands was like he was sacrificing. He was showing them his own self. He was giving, he said, take this. Take this. It represents me. My body is going to be given for you. Be broken. 1 Peter 2:24, he said, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, that having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Those stripes that are healed are not our physical sickness. Although he does heal us physically as well, but he's talking about the spiritual healing that we all needed. And that was to deliver us from sin. Aren't you glad today? I know as we stand from time to time, aren't you glad, and as we lose loved ones, aren't you glad to know there's a hope that goes beyond this life, that because of the price that was paid, And that night he was instituting that we can have hope beyond this life, that Jesus Christ has laid a place for us and that we go to be with him one day. That is the what he's doing. He's implementing this, to do this in remembrance of me. Why? That each and every one of us can acknowledge the hope that we have in Christ. The cup of the, verse 25 of the old covenant, remember, it spoke of that, that deliverance from Egypt. This new cup would speak of the deliverance from our own sins. Why? Lastly, look at 24 through 26 for recollection. For recollection. Look, what are you talking about? That we can remember. He says that we may understand, that we may remember that song. We will remember. We will remember. We do this, and when we take it in your hand, before you take of it, actually think about what it is that you're remembering. Has Christ cleansed you? Has Christ come into your life? We will remember. We do it in recollection of what Christ has done for each one of us. It is a corporate thing, but at that moment, it's an individual thing. We're doing it together, but individually, we stand remembering what Christ has done for us. Has he done anything for you? But also for proclamation, verse 26, it says, proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. He's not dead. He's resurrected, and he's coming again. So it's a proclamation to the world. Listen, yes, we were in sin, but Christ saved us, and we will remember what he's done for us, and we will live, and we will make this proclamation to the world that Christ is alive, and he's coming again through your life. It's a proclamation. But within those same verses, it's an anticipation. Until he comes, folks, listen. He's coming again. How many times have you heard the last little bit, I don't think this old world's going to last much longer? How many times you might even mouth that yourself? How dare us then not live differently, if that's what we really believe? Because he says, proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. He is coming. Just as sure as I'm standing here before you. Just as sure if you believe that you're saved in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you've got to believe he's coming. Why? He told us he was. Anticipation. Are you anticipating that moment, or are you just living in the moment? Because it's coming. It's coming. It can come before we ever walk out the door. Now, I want you to let that sink in. If before we ever walk out the door, the Lord Jesus showed up and it was over, would you? What would that do? Does that scare you this morning? If it scares you, you better get whatever it is that you're fearing out of the way, because that moment can happen. And I'm not just trying to scare you. I'm telling you the truth by God's word. And so we got to be ready, folks. If there's anything, okay, say he gave you 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. So you, what would you do in that 5 minutes? You better be doing it now. Why? He's coming. So it's a time of anticipation. When we take this cup, it's not just going through a routine or just going through a movement. It's proclaiming the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, and he's coming again soon. Soon. And so the application of this before we partake, what does it say? Therefore, whoever eats, this is very important. Listen closely to this. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will what? Will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine, that's a man, woman, boy, child, examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this is the reason, what does it say? Many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's how important that it is. What's he saying, preacher? He's saying if you are not saved, don't take of this cup. It's not, don't worry about what everybody else is saying, thinking around you. You know between you and the Lord if you're saved or not. If you're not saved, don't take this cup. If you're living in sin and you got sin in your life and you're not willing to let go of your sin, do not take of this cup. Why? It says many are weak and sick and many sleep. You say, what's he talking about there? you're sick, you can be sick, you can be diseased, and you can go on to be with the Lord pretty quick. Is that not what the Word's saying? When you sleep, He's talking about believers that have not confessed and stepped away from their sin, taken to this table. That's how important that it is. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that as a man's word. Read it for yourself. Look at verse 27 through 30. What does it say? And so we never partake of this in an unworthy manner, but we do business with the Lord. What are we examining? Are we living in sin? Are we harboring resentment? Are we traditionally just partaking of it, not thinking about the importance of it? How about our attitudes and the motives for the things that we do? You say, wow, that's a lot of stuff. That's why we bow our heads right now before the Lord. Just you and God. Bow your heads. And you do business with God right now. If there's sin in your life, if there's these attitudes, if you're harboring resentment against somebody, if you're living in sin, you better confess it before you take this table. And I don't mean I'm just going to do it right now and go back to living the same old way. That's not what confession is. That's truly getting your life right before the Lord. Moment of silence right here, and then deacons, make your way forward, please. We're going to partake of the Lord's table. Everybody look here.
testimony before your family and before the Lord? Lord, aren't you glad that He shed His blood for each and every one of us? He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, it's with great gratitude and so thankful that we as a church family can gather and do this ordinance that you gave, Lord, so many years ago. You commanded us 2018 years, God. And here we are still doing it because, Lord, you said to do this as long as you're, till you return in remembrance of what you've done. Thank you for the shed blood. Thank you for the blood that was applied to my life, an old sinner such as I. God, I stand amazed. Help me never to get over that which you've done for me. I deserve hell and eternity separated from God forever. But because of what Christ has done, I am a child of the King. And so I pray, give me the strength. Give me, Lord, the fortitude to live those words out daily. And so I thank you for each person that is here. And I pray, God, that you'll just work in each one's life. I pray if they need to be drawn closer to you, that you'll draw them closer through the study of your word and through discipleship, through accountability. Help us to be a church that Christ gets the glory. God, I pray that people will continue to come to know you as personal Savior. Men and women, boys and girls will be raised up to know the principles of Christ, sent out all over the world to take the message of the gospel. And I thank you, Lord. That's a God-sized prayer. Only you can do such a thing as that in this place that you placed us. And so be glorified. Thank you so much for all you've done. In Christ's name and all God's people said, amen. Listen, you won't come back this evening, so spend a few moments hugging somebody's neck, telling them that you love them. And also, I want you to think of a way this week that you can talk to somebody and share the good news of the gospel that's happened in your life. I challenge you, ask God to bring somebody into your life that you can just plant the seed. Remember, plant the seed. It don't mean winning them to Christ. We don't win anybody. Can anybody say amen? The Lord Jesus does. But He's called us to be seed sowers. So sow some seed this week. Why? The grass is getting green. Leaves are growing. Why can't we things grow spiritually? Sow your seed, bro. Look for those opportunities. Lee, go ahead, Barry.